One of the more curious things about the nature of God is that God does not need the world. And in fact, God does not need you, and he does not need me. God is infinitely complete, without need of anything, totally sufficient to himself, in himself. So when that day came that he said, "Let there be light," it wasn't because he needed there to be light. God needs no light. And yet, he did it anyway. He created all things along with you and me, even though he had no need of creating at all. So, if he needs nothing, what could possibly be the reason he created? Love. Love is the only reason why God created, the only plausible reason why he created. So, back to my first comment, which seems at first to be kind of harsh, God not needing the world and not needing you or me is actually one of the most loving things that God could ever do. If he needed us, then he never would have created us out of love. He would have created us for some other reason, to use us for something in his creation, or to manipulate us for his purposes, or maybe even because he was reliant on us to be God. But we know this is not true. If God's being was reliant on us, then his creating us would have been something quite different than loving us. Today we celebrate the solemnity of Christ the King, another curious aspect into the nature of God. Of course, we know Jesus as the second person of the Trinity, the Messiah, the Lord, the Christ, the Word made flesh. These are spiritual titles: Prince of Peace, Wonder Counselor, Alpha and Omega. And we can pretty much grasp these spiritual views of God. But Christ as a king easily confuses us because we've had some bad experiences through the centuries with kings and emperors and dictators and khans and czars and even presidents. Here's a perfect way to think about it. Bishop Barron talks about this. Think of all the gods in the pantheon of gods throughout the history of religion, Greek and Roman mythology and the other mythologies in the religions around the world. The gods of these religions almost always created the world through aggression, a war that ended in the creation of the world, or a murder of one god by another god that brought about order in the world, or even a violent event like a volcano erupting or an earthquake or a great natural upheaval of some descript. This is how almost all of the gods of religions throughout history created. And their creation almost always elicited fear by the people they created. But how does the God of history create? He creates order out of chaos, not from war or a violent act or a natural disaster. It's just the opposite. God creates non-violently. He brings order out of chaos by the sheer act of love in creation. Remember, he doesn't need any of this. He doesn't need any of us. He loves, and all of this comes into being. So if someone were to ask you, an atheist or a Muslim or a Hindu or anyone from any other of the world's religions, if they were to ask you, what is God like? This would be one of the answers. God is the creator of order out of chaos, and he does it non-violently. His creation is a product of his love. It's right there in the New Testament, the letter of St. John. God is love. This is how we should begin wrapping our hands around Christ as King on this solemnity of Christ the King. Because if we take a step down from the gods throughout history, the gods with a small g, and we begin to consider the kings of history, Christ the King begins to make sense. Not every king or emperor or czar or premier or supreme leader has been bad. Some of them have been just. But an overwhelming majority of them have all tried to create their society out of aggression. And they are often called great. They sometimes declared war against a neighboring kingdom. They sometimes enslaved a weaker people. They sometimes got rid of a rival within their own kingdom. They sometimes bought their power. They sometimes lied their way into leadership. But this king, Christ the King, is remarkable because he does just the opposite. He rules his kingdom by the very way in which he created his kingdom, only and always with nonviolent love. So, rather than declaring war like so many kings of history, Christ the King declared, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And rather than enslaving people like so many emperors in history, Christ the King said, "I no longer call you slaves, but I call you friends." Instead of getting rid of a rival, Christ was baptized by a rival preacher, which moved this rival preacher, his own cousin, John the Baptist, to tell his own followers, "Stop following me. There he is. There's the Lamb of God. Follow him." Rather than buying power, Christ the King gives away his power to a weak Roman governor and an angry group of priests from the temple. Then he gives his power away even to his own followers. He says to the disciples, "You have my power now. Go out and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And rather than lying his way into kingship, this king, our king, Jesus Christ the King, was put to death precisely because of the lies of others. It's amazing when you think about it, how ironic this story of Christ the King plays out. And so, what can we learn from Christ the King's kingship? How do we embrace not only his kingship, but also his kingdom? Well, we have to connect Christ the King, who is Jesus, with the Word that spoke all things into existence at the very beginning. The Word that created for no other reason but love. The Word who would become Christ the King. Didn't have to create at all. He is the eternal perfect in need of nothing. And yet, from that moment of creating all that is, out of love, he created us to be like him in his image and likeness, to be love as he is love himself. This means that when we love rather than hate, when we make peace rather than war, when we forgive rather than condemn, when we no longer call people slaves, but rather our friends, when we live the truth rather than live a lie, we do the things that this king did when he lovingly entered into his kingdom. We participate in his kingship. Our very existence as citizens of the real kingdom is being loved into being and as such, our fullest actualization as beings in his image and likeness is to live by this rule in loving one another. Pope Benedict wrote his first encyclical, Deus Caritas Est, God is love. He wrote his first encyclical all about this idea of Christ the King ruling his kingdom not by force or aggression or fear. He rules his kingdom solely in the love by which he created his kingdom from the very beginning. And his love has passed down from generation to generation, from Adam and Eve to you and me and everyone else today. Pope Benedict explained it this way, how the kingdom exists as the very ground of our being, created in love. And I'll leave this for our reflection today. Think about our world. Think about your life. Think about the kings and the emperors and the czars and the premiers and the supreme leaders of both history and of today, over and against Christ the King. Pope Benedict wrote this, "The commandment of love is only possible because it is more than a commandment. Love can be commanded of us because it has first been given to us." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.